Blog Talk Radio.
I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. For you have exalted above all things your name and your word. I surrender it all to you, O God.
Welcome to Prophetic Prayer Warrior Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Kim Jackson.
And hey, I'm back. This is your co-host, Taronda Hamilton.
Yeah, she's back.
Oh my God, I'm so glad.
Taronda, it's been a glorious week. I know the last show that we did, I apologize if my message that I put up on the show for the last show was kind of garbage, because I wasn't at my studio doing it. I was actually on my phone, and sometimes connecting with my phone, it gets kind of that the signal's not as great. So I apologize to our listeners. Well, I had that week buried my grandmother. God bless her soul. She'd been turning 94 in September.
Wow.
So she lived a long life, a blessed woman.
God is good.
Yes, he is. So we're back in the studio. We're back with God moving for this new season. We're getting ready. Well, people say we started fall now.
It's harvest time.
Yes,
bringing
it
in.
Time.
It's harvest time.
So let's bring in the harvest. Let's bring
yes,
the harvest
together.
In. So this show, we entitled the Journey. And the reason why it's titled The Journey, because my sister is getting ready to go on a journey. If you remember back in February when I entitled one show, My Walk with God, she's getting ready to do the same journey.
Yes, looking forward to it.
So this journey is going to be something remarkable. And if you have not done it, if you have not looked into the website, I encourage you to. I encourage you to look into it because it's a changing journey. It will really change your life. It'll make you see all the things in your life and give you an understanding why they're there. And it'll help you release it. Because even though I've been back for some months, I'm starting to see things differently.
The harvest.
Yeah, the harvest. I explained to one of my coworkers this week about how when I came back from my journey, it's like my faith may have been 2 feet off the ground. But when I came back, and over time, I noticed my faith had leaped higher. I know some people say, well, if you have faith, faith is always with you. But here's the thing. Faith without works is dead. Because if you don't believe that it could be done, then it won't be done. So far, I have changed. I've ended up with a job, ended up with another vehicle. Not just a job. I'm with a job that I wanted. I never asked God for it. It was just a desire that was in my spirit. I never verbally wrote it. I mean, I never verbally said it or wrote it down. But it was just there. And worries, the things of worry like money, food, just material things. It's just, that worry is just not there. So,
okay.
Before I went, God prepared me for what was to come. So, how's things been going with you? I know we started this talk back in, what was it?
I don't know. You coerced me, yes.
Back in, I think in April, you say, well, I want to go. And I kept saying, well, you know, you got to, before you go, you have to register early before to get into the October session. So that God prepared me before I went. He kept giving me so many dreams. It's like my view of different things would just start changing. And how can I put it? It was just so different. It's like someone had pulled a sheet over you. You had a sheet over your head, and someone just took it away.
How is he preparing me?
Yeah, how is he preparing? Come on.
Things that I hear, things that I read, I see a pattern. And it's a pattern of my place in the overall scheme of things.
Mm-hmm.
I see me as a part of everything, no longer an individual.
Okay.
I see my value as and uniqueness within that. And some of the things, Kim, we had been talking about earlier, and I think this is what God is going to, I'm going with no expectations. I'm going with no questions. I'm going with an open mind, open slate, empty heart, empty mind. God, here I am. Someone asked me, was I ready? And I said, yes. And the way I know I'm ready is because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I want more. And the more that I want can only come from the one that could supply that, and that would be God. I am learning that I am an individual and I am unique and I have to develop my own uniqueness. And just like I am, so is everybody else. I'm learning that I'm not you, you're not me. I cannot tell you how to walk your path because I don't know what your path is. No one can tell me what my path is. All we can share is seek your path. I believe that's why the scripture tells us to work out your own soul salvation. I believe that because we are a member of the whole, a member of the body, when we look at our body, there's no part that's identical. Everything is different and unique, and the same with each individual. So therefore, I'm preparing myself to find out how do I recognize what's not for me?
Okay.
How do I recognize what I am, who I am, and where I'm supposed to be? I want to be able to hear that voice so clear and avoid all the distractions. And not only learn that, Kim, but to bring it back with me and not lose it.
I don't think you're going to lose it.
I don't think so either.
But
I really
think it's going to grow.
And sometimes I have to admit that frightens me in a good way. Frightens and excites. Okay. We are good and bad, have both capabilities within us.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm fearful, but the joy part overrides that fear. I'm excited about my journey. I feel like Moses when he was on the mountaintop. I feel like Jesus when he was going into the wilderness. You know, I feel all these people that when he, even Jonah, when he went up and sit on the mountaintop, he was there waiting to see what God was going to do. Now, I'm not running. I'm going into this thing with eyes wide open willingly. Now, I will admit, Kim, you did push me there a little bit.
No, I did not push you.
You kind of pushed because Kim would not let me forget the deadline. Kim would not let me miss it. It was like, Trina, are you ready? Are you ready? So, yeah, he kind of encouraged me. And I got to the place where it's like, Kim is not going to let me back out. So I got to go. I'm ready because, like I said, I'm hungry. I want something, and I know what I want has to come from God.
You know, because it's one of those things that it's not that I didn't want you to back up, but I want you to experience because you have showed me so many things over the years, and it has changed my life.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to share that with somebody and say, you've got to do this. You've got to do this. It's like almost the ultimate thing to do. I mean, some people may go, because I remember when I was down there, one guy said he did the 40 days in the wilderness thing. He said he was in Arizona. He literally went in the desert for 40 days.
I'm not ready for that one.
He said, yeah. He said he took a tent. He's just out in the desert. That's,
wow.
Now I'm not going to do that. I don't encourage anyone to do that unless
God sends me.
Yeah.
No.
Just like I don't encourage anyone to go into the in the jungle and spend time in the jungle. But it's just in some ways in our life we've got to find a way to find that time.
So I think it goes beyond finding. I think it goes to the place of making.
You're so right.
Making time. Because there's so many things that will distract you, so many things going on. And one of the mindsets I think you have to go off and spend some time with God is absolute trust and faith that God will take care of everything in your absence. You have to go with that mindset, trusting and believing God. And pretty much it's something I tell my children, my grandchildren, I tell them, if I don't have my cell phone hooked to my hip and an emergency comes through, I really believe God would let me know. And I know there are some times when I don't have it and the Lord will say, go get your phone, go get your phone. I'll go get it. And as soon as I go after it, the phone rings and it's a call I need to take. So I really believe that he oversees our lives if we would just trust him.
Yep. That's the thing about it, trusting him.
You have to trust him. And that I think, Kim, that applies not only to when we go away, but when we're in the presence of everything and everybody, because we can't control anything.
No.
Not our own well-being. I can't control when I lay down if I'm going to wake up in the morning. So I have to trust God with my everyday, everything. And this, Kim, is the journey that all of us are on. All of us are on our own individual journey. Now, you brought up Ezekiel and Ezekiel's journey and what God did for him. And one of the things about that is not so much that we're asking anybody to emulate Ezekiel. But no matter how strange your journey may appear, go for it. Because God has a harvest waiting on you.
Yeah, and don't be scared. I know when I mentioned the journey that I took to a lot of people, the first thing they would say is, oh, I can't do that. Yeah. Oh, that's something I can't do. Oh, I can't live without this. What you're telling me is your God is not that powerful. And you trust in your earthly needs or your earthly thoughts, your earthly ways, than God ways. So if God sends you into this journey, he's going to take care, like you said, he's going to take care of your family. He's going to take care of your needs. He's going to make sure everything's all right.
And whatever happens, I can't stop it or start it. So everything is in his hands anyway.
And that's so true. Everything's in his hands. We have to trust God. If you believe the scriptures, if you believe that God is who he is, then we have to trust him.
And are we, when we identify these things that we cannot do without, are we putting them in a place where they are more important to us than spending time with God? That's one way to look at it. We have to get to the place where, in spite of everything, I want to know God.
Yep.
I want to know him more. And I was thinking about Jesus himself. He said, I am the way. He is, how do I put it, a great example of how we should walk. Like Jesus would mean to steal away and spend so much time with the Father until he and the Father, and that's what he did. He and the Father became one. He said, these are not my words. These are the words of the Father. And shouldn't that be all of our goals as we walk this walk? Which means, Kim, you had asked me earlier, how do we share with other people our experiences and share with them what God has put in us?
Yeah.
And I believe, now this is me personally, I believe the best way to share what God has put in us and has for us is to have more of God in us to where we become that light in the world. We become the light that dispels the darkness. We become the living example of what it is God wants to do in the earth. And the only way you can do that is to spend time with God. And the more time you spend with him, the more he can reveal himself to you. And he pours into you to where it becomes an overflow. So wherever you walk, you will be walking in the glory and people will be passing by the glory.
I love that. I love that.
It's almost like going back to the garden.
Yeah, it is.
You're walking in the light of God. I mean, you are walking with him. Oh my God, I would love to be in the Garden of Eden. to spend time with God. I can't think of anything better that I would want to do with my life.
And so you have the same hunger as I had when I left. Even though it was just frightening, but I knew I had to go on it. Mm-hmm. Just like when I signed up to go, it's like, okay, they got me on the wait list. It's not going to happen. But you said, yes, it is. It's going to happen. I said, okay. Kind of didn't think nothing about it, and I get an email. You're off the wait list. You're still interested? Yes, I'm still interested. Then having the money, well, it really didn't cost money. The only thing it cost you was gas getting down there. That's it. Because they took care of everything else. And all you have to do is just give them a donation. But just getting there, the nights after nights of meditation, my mind was always, okay, I hear this. This is fine. No, that's good. But as it went on, it's like things started changing. And it's like the person that went down there didn't come back. It's like he said, well, you have to leave him. Now I need for you to bring the new person back.
I think that you're going into a place of transformation. You're transforming from the old to the new.
Yeah.
And even the new at some time will have to be transformed into another new. There is no end result as long as there's breath. So we have to continue to feed the hungry. I don't expect to come back full. And if I do, I believe it's just like when I sit at the dinner table and I eat till I'm full, I walk away and then I burn up everything. I believe that's what happens. And then we have to go back and refuel.
Yeah.
Jesus continually, you find he went off into the wilderness. He went to a mountain. He went to a place of solitude. He was always going somewhere to get re-energized. And I think that's what we have to do. We get to the place in our lives that we have depleted everything in us and to the point where some of us actually feel like we're going to lose our minds. And it's because we have not gone to a place of restoration. We have not gone away and let God refuel and refill us. We have not given the Holy Spirit time to come in and refresh us. We just keep getting burnt out and burnt out and burnt out until there's absolutely nothing left. And unfortunately, in speaking God's word, unfortunately, we can get to the place where we actually lose our lives behind it because we have anxiety can bring on disease.
Yeah.
Anger can bring on all kinds of things, and it's been proven that our mental state can affect our physical state. So if we don't make the time to get refreshed and restored, we're slowly killing ourselves and destroying the temple that God has given us.
You know, some people, they're thinking, this is, I don't be like the Donald Trump.
We keep our eyes on God.
Yes. Well, what if let's say some of our listeners may have the view, well, getting refreshed, isn't that what Sunday morning church is? Isn't that what I go to church for? Isn't that the purpose to rejuvenate me for the week?
You know, some people have that mindset. Majority of people go away and they're not restored or refreshed. I think it's a great place to go for the fellowship.
And I totally agree with that.
And sometimes I'm fearful that we go and don't allow God to deal with us as an individual. You have to be very careful because our leaders can be great leaders, and yet I think they can bring us words of encouragement. But at the same time, if we're not careful, we're receiving from them what God has given them, and it may not be what I need. And so I walk away wondering and wanting for something. And what comes to mind, I was in a service with a bunch of young ladies, and it was an older missionary, and she was sharing with us her story and pouring into us. And she said, unfortunately, a lot of people will make a doctrine or denomination even out of things that God has shared with them, which is not necessarily for their audience. And her example was, she said that she had this thing before her salvation about jewelry. I mean, everything had to be in place. I mean, she said this was her God, literally. Mm-hmm. And when she got saved, the Lord said, take it off. And she said she knew the reason she had to take it off because it had such great value in her. And she said, but I would never tell you not to wear it, because that was something God told me, because it was my God. And too many times we have leaders and people in places of leadership, teachers, whatever, that want to pour into us what God told them specifically. Put on this size 8 shoe and I wear a size 6. Put on this size 6 and I wear a 10. It's not going to fit, but I try to force it because I respect my leader. There is no disrespect to your leader when you're listening to what God is telling you. And they can tell you words to encourage you. And I think that's what the house of worship, they were going from house to house, breaking bread, testifying, sharing with one another before there was a building. And now we have a building, and I believe the building should serve the same purpose, a place of fellowship. But my Holy Spirit is my teacher, my guide, my director, the one that walks alongside with me when my leaders can't be with me. The Holy Spirit is with me. So I have to allow that space and time for the Holy Spirit to minister to me. Kim.
Excuse me, everybody. No, I'm just it's like I could just feel the change. And she hadn't even left yet. So just imagine how it's going to be when she comes back. It's amazing. And it's God is just doing so much. And the way he's leading us is just so wonderful.
You know, Kim, I feel like I need to say this. When I say leaders, I'm not talking about them in a negative sense. We need leaders. We need order.
Yeah.
We do. And yet in a place of leadership, we have to be very careful that what we're pouring into our people is what they need. And personally, what I need is teach me how to grow. Teach me how to be the individual God is calling me to be. And one of the things, teach me how to seek God's face for myself. Teach me how to pray, how to connect. Don't try to make me be you. Don't try to make all of us look the same, because we're not.
Right.
So leaders, I pray for them because they are in such a place of leadership, such a place of importance, of value. And I'm praying that they realize that the people that they are leading, they're accountable for, and everything they say, they're accountable for those words. And that's always been my challenge. I want to make sure whatever I say will edify and encourage every individual to seek out God and to be who God called them to be. And if I have a part in doing that, I want to make sure I do it to perfection. I'm not perfect, but the Holy Spirit is.
Yes, you're right. You're so right. I mean, the Holy Spirit is perfection. But it's in this journey, I know you said we need that some leaders may try to give you their vision or lead you in the direction that God leading them, and that their direction may not be for you. But what about those people who God is showing them things, showing them a direction in life, but their leader don't know how to guide them into that same direction or show them how to get there or show them the path.
If they don't know how, that's why they have a teacher in them. That's why they have to also understand that his words are not their words, his thoughts are not their thoughts. We have to be bold enough to speak what God is telling us and trust that what he is saying is what they need to hear.
Yeah, and that's the truth.
It's not for us to judge or discern, but it's for us to know this is what God is telling us and then say it. How many times have you walked up to someone and just started telling them things, not knowing anything about them, and then all they could say was, like the woman at the well, I met a man that told me everything about me. That happens, and we have to be free enough within our spirit to follow God's leading and just speak what he tells us to speak. Because he will reveal those things to us.
Yes, he will. I mean, I had a lot of times I have incidents like that where I'll be sitting up there talking to someone, it'll just be a casual conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But then somehow
something changes. There's a shift in the conversation.
And the person would just share with me what's going on in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Then for some reason, and I always say I can feel myself change. And because like I've been told when I get in front of the mic, say, man, you change. I don't know what you turn into, but you change. It's like I become
empowered.
Yes. Empowered, and I become God's Kim.
That's it. You're empowered, and you let that happen. And see, what happens is people come up to you, and they're like this eggshell. They're very fragile, and they've got this hard shell around them to keep the insides of them from coming out. And yet, when they get in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and you're sharing with them, the Holy Spirit breaks that thing, and they open up. And they pour themselves out into you. And it's because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we have to be very sensitive to that presence of the Holy Spirit. Because now everything that's in them has been laid out before you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? So you pour into whatever it was and allow God to remold it and remake it into what he wants it to be.
Yeah. Because I find out when you do that, it's like it's a healing. You're trying to help that person heal.
Exactly. Because there are so many people that are hurting.
And one thing I try not to do, I never try to force my opinions or my thoughts on the person. I always tell them, you're important to God. You have a purpose. And God has a purpose for you. And no matter where you are, you're there for a reason. You're not there just to get financial gain. You're not there for personal pleasure. You're there for a reason.
All of us have a place in the grand scheme of God's plan. And it's up to us to encourage people to get in that place. Why? Because I'm a part of them.
Yeah.
And they are a part of me. And it, whenever, like our physical body, and we always go back to this because this is the symbolism that God has chose to use with the body of Christ. And if there's a part of the body that is not functioning, then there's a deformity in there, which means that's a part of me. I am deformed because there's a part that's not functioning the way it should be. And my understanding is like if there's a cut on your body somewhere, the blood rushes there.
Yeah.
We should be rushing to the pieces and parts of us that are broken and need to be mended and need to be healed because they are us. If they bleed out, I'm bleeding out.
Yeah.
We are the body of Christ. I am not. every piece of the body, God put it together and said it was good. So right down to my littlest toenail, my fingernail, it's good and it needs to function. And if it's not, I need to find out why. Because all of it's good and all of it is me. And so if we look at everybody, everything, the scripture says God so loved the world that God loves has been placed in our hands and we have the responsibility for the earth and the fullness and the people that live in it. And once we begin to get that revelation that it's just not me or just not mine, but it's ours, it's us, until we get that in, parts of us will be hurting, missing, because there are some people out there that still need to come into the fold, and it's up to us to help bring them in by loving them, showing them the light.
That is,
get rid of the negativity.
Yeah, because there's so much negativity out there. It's like, okay, we all need healing. We all need healing. And I believe the healing is going to come by us joining together.
Joining together.
Seeing us as brothers and sisters.
Yes. Part of the same family.
Yep.
It's a journey.
It's truly a journey.
It's a journey. And I want everybody to make this trip. I do. I love to travel. Everybody that know me know I love to travel. And this is going to be an amazing journey. And I don't want anybody to miss it. So if I can do in my part, anything I can do to make sure everybody sees what I see, and that's God, I'm here. I'm here. That's all I can say. I'm here.
Well, one if our listeners, one if they want to go on that like a journey like that, but they can't do the 10-day, what would you recommend for them?
Okay, Kim, I have always... for quite some time, had vacations with God.
Okay.
Now, number one, I don't know how, pray and ask God to open the door, but one of the things you cannot do this in your house. You
no.
can't.
No.
You just cannot. And reason being, because you're going to always see something that's going to distract you and make you say, oh, well, you know, let me take 5 minutes. I forgot I need to do this. I need to do that. Find somewhere, if it's no more than just go somewhere and sit in a hotel room with your books and your Bible. Someplace where you know you can be safe. Not some of these little motels on the side of the road, but someplace where you know you will be secure so that if you fall asleep, you know you can wake up and nobody's going to bother you. But if you cannot go away for any indefinite, start with those little mini vacations, trips with God. Go away. You know, here in Atlanta, there are several places. Sometimes there's a place called Ignatius House. Kim, sometimes I'll just go and sit on the grounds for a few hours, enough to restore and reflect.
I know I visited Ignatius House, but I've never actually stayed at the meditate.
It's amazing. Yes.
Mine's always been the monastery.
And the monastery. Now, that's if you're going to stay a little. I've been out there just for the day.
Yeah.
I've been out there and stayed a couple of nights. But there are places you can go and start with just a few moments, a few hours. It doesn't have to be 10 days. It doesn't have to be 30. It doesn't have to be 40 days. I can't see that one yet. God will have to really deal with me for that one. I can't see that one yet. But and I'm, because one of my concerns, Kim, is sometimes we get away for the purpose of getting away. But what do we bring back? I don't want to get away just for me. What am I bringing back to help humanity, to help God's people, to help the world that God wants us to make changes in?
See, that's the thing, because that means you go on with the mindset that God will pour into you, so you can take what he poured into you and you pour it into someone else.
Exactly. And I think that's the way it should be. So what I'm talking about is not going on a mini vacation. I have been some places and cannot tell you what was in the city or nothing else because that was not my purpose. My purpose was to get away and spend some time with God. I've been on camping trips and all I did was go sit down on a bench somewhere and stare out at the water and listen and get lessons from that.
See, just that spending that time.
You know, I went on, I took a young lady with me. You talk about the monastery with a young lady with me. And it was one of those silent ones where you weren't supposed to speak. And she was coming from the lake. I was going to the lake. And she said, "Would I bother you if I shared something with you? I just have to say something." I'm like, "No, it won't bother me. What is it?" She had been down to the lake, and they have geese, ducks, whatever. And she said, "I looked up, and I saw one that was coming to me, and it looked like it had been in a fight. It, something was wrong with the legs. It was missing some feathers. I mean, you could tell it seemed like it was in pain, but it really looked like it had been beat up really bad." And she said, "And I saw it." And then she said, "I looked away, and I was reading something, and I looked up, and it was gone. And all I saw out on the lake was what looked like a swan." And she said, "Then the Holy Spirit said, that's what I'm going to do to you. Take her from that broken, beaten person and make her a thing of beauty." And she was in tears. She said that's how she felt when she got that it, the world had beat up on her. But this was the revelation that she got. Just being away and being still and being quiet and listening to God. He speaks. He speaks. We just need to get away where we can hear him.
Yeah, we do. Yes, we really do. We really do. Well, hopefully when you come back, maybe I could share some more stuff that I see, because it's still resonating in my spirit.
Yeah, and I want to say this to everybody. You know, I think Kim has set me up, because I really know that there are some things that happened to him on his little 11-day journey that he has not yet shared with me. And that's another reason why he's encouraging me to go, because, yeah, he wants to me to experience something that he is not telling me. And all I'm going to say is I'm going in with my mind wide open.
It's not the what I experienced. It just, for some reason, it's almost like, you know, some people that have been living in the city for so long, they don't know how fresh air feels.
Yes.
Then all of a sudden you take them from the city into the country.
Yes.
And they, in the city, they couldn't breathe well, but then they go in the country, it's like, mm-hmm. It's like things has changed.
A friend of mine went on, it was her first retreat. We went to the mountains. And that night we went out and it was a clear sky. Well, first of all, during the day, she could not get over the beauty of the trees and the area that we were in. I mean, it was like, oh, look. And I'm like, yeah, I've seen that. And then that night we were outside and she could not imagine how many stars were there. But you can't see them. And it's the same thing in our walk with God. God is saying, right now, you're seeing in a cloud. It's just a cloud. But if you get away and let me open up your eyes to behold the beauty and the wonders that I have for you, you would be amazed. You would be amazed. You would stand in awe of God. I can't wait.
I know you can. But I can tell you, the nights there were beautiful. I mean, one night they had a full moon. That moon was lighting up that area so brightly. And because I know I had like a head flashlight, I didn't need it.
You know, you can in some places get to where, I remember way back when I was at this, it was a party on a farm. And the moon was so bright, we did not need lights. I mean, it was just like walking around almost like in daylight. It was so bright. It was gorgeous. But, yeah. By the light of the moon.
So it's going to become a great journey for Teron. And I believe that anyone who wants to try that journey, if you can't do the 10, well, actually 11 days, at least try to do a weekend. I know she said go to a hotel, but to me in a hotel, there's too much distractions in a hotel because you're still connected to TV, electronics. Mm-hmm. You got to go somewhere where you can just put all that down and just have a weekend with nobody but you and God. Yeah.
Try it.
So it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. You know, even when I was there, it's like the skies were beautiful. The food was, I thought the food was decent. I didn't miss any meat. I didn't miss any desserts because they made desserts, but they made them healthy.
Interesting.
And the meats, they use, soy.
Tofu. Mm-hmm.
Just to substitute for the meat. But most people said, well, you may get hungry after a certain time because there are 12. You have what they call a dinner. The dinner is just fruits and tea. That's it. And I've heard some when I mentioned that, said, well, no, I got to eat. So trust me, the food that you have at noon is going to take you through all that afternoon until the next morning.
Kim, I told you, I'm curious as to their menu and their meals and their recipes. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to that.
Now, they said when they started, they didn't have a recipe book. But then they started creating a recipe book over time. And they have a big list of recipes. And all their foods are given to them. And they grow a lot of their own foods. Like all the vegetables, they grow. They have a community that takes care of that whole village. It's really a nice little area. If you go online and try to look at pictures, you ain't gonna find too many pictures.
No, because it's a place of solitude.
Yeah.
And your solitude actually is a place of privacy.
Yeah.
And I would not want to share that. I would not want cameras around. To me, that would be a distraction. And so I guess what we're really trying to get across today, it's the necessity of getting to where you can hear that small, still voice and spend time with it. The people that we love, our desire is to spend time with them.
Yeah.
And so when we say we love God, do we love Him enough to want to spend time with Him and Him alone? Do we love Him enough and trust Him enough to take care of the things that we leave behind? Trust Him. Do we love Him? Do we say we want to seek Him, but will we make the time to do that? Or do we allow everything in our lives to take precedence over our desire to be with Him? These are the challenges that we face trying to be with God. And I believe that if enough of us get to the place where we really want to spend time with God and become like God, we will be change agents in the world that we live in.
Change agents.
Yes, we will be change agents in the world.
You know, that's one of the things that they told us while we were there.
Really?
So you could tell how you've grown when you continue sharing your testimony of what you went through. And it seemed like I can't stop.
So I hear. What is it? You told me your daughter told you you took over a conversation?
Well, it was not my intention, but it's just, no.
When people will gravitate to you. I believe that's what happens.
And they say, how could you do it? But you can. If you get to a place to where you lost yourself, It's like no way out. No people say, well, you need to go see a therapist. Well, I can sit and talk to someone for hours and hours, but is that person really going to get to the core of what's going on with me?
They can only do that if you don't have any hidden places. And unfortunately, I think a lot of us still hide things. No matter, we may go to a therapist, but some things are hidden in us that we don't want to share.
Yeah.
Some things are there that we have chosen to have a mental block, so it's not going to come back anyway. But the thing about spending time with God, there's nothing hidden, Kim.
No, because you can't hide anything.
There's nothing hidden, so your all in all is placed before Him.
Yeah.
Completely exposed, allowing Him to speak to it in you.
Yeah, you're gonna find out once you're able to deal with yourself, dealing with other people will be a breeze.
Yeah.
Because now sometimes I find myself going back to my old ways, and then something inside me say, well, is it something that's harmful to you? Is it really? Then I get to that point to where the teaching that I went through said, no, hey, let it pass. Because I got a friend that I work with, and I always tell him, so, you know, you got to learn to just relax. You got to learn to pull back. Everything that you go through shouldn't be something that actually stops you from being who you really are. Because sometimes situations can bring you to a place to where you are really not the person that you need to be. So I've always tried to talk with wisdom. I always try to talk with understanding. I've always tried to just pretty much just listening to people. Now, one thing I do notice by coming back is that you will find people, what I call unloading on you. They would see that your spirit is calm, so they'll unload all of their burdens on you. But like they taught us in Vipassana, just like if someone came to your home and had a gift for you, but it was a gift that you didn't want, you can refuse that gift.
Mm-hmm.
And say, no, I don't want that one. Why don't you keep it?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, if you accept that gift, then you accept everything that comes with it.
Everything that comes with it.
So just remember these things. It's a journey. Everyone in the Bible had their own journey, and they had to deal with that journey their own way. Because God has taken us all on a new journey.
You know, Kim, with or without God, our life is a journey.
Yeah.
And I would choose to have my journey with Him because of all that comes with Him. My peace of mind, my protection, my supply.
Yeah.
All of these things are promised with Him. And so far, He has not let me down. And each time I remember a struggle, I also remember the victory. That's the hope that we have, those of us that will acknowledge that there is a God on our side. Now, I don't know about those that choose not to or what their life is like, but I would not trade mine for anything.
No, I wouldn't either, because God has brought me a long way.
And I realize it's Him.
Yeah. Because I've seen myself grow from a person who was timid to speak, who was afraid to step out of his shell to do a lot of things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I still have some things I'm trying to work through.
We have our moments.
Yeah.
Our days.
But I know that God is always there with me and helping me get through this. So just like we have a journey, so do you.
Amen. Seek it out.
Yeah.
It will be fulfilling.
So will. You know.
Say it. Bring it out, Sir Prophet.
These personal journeys, they just, it's something we've always talked about at PPW. We've never been one to say, well, you should go do this or go do that for your journey. We always want, we try to walk what we talk. And what I mean by that, if we suggest something to you, it's something that we've already done. We've already experienced. We're not going to tell you to go to a place that we've hadn't been. You know, I'd say you want to go to a good restaurant, but you're looking for the reviews of it. You're looking to see if the food is good, if the service is good, if the atmosphere is what you want to experience.
You want a recommendation?
Yeah. So we're showing you what we've done. But if you don't believe us, go to the scriptures. Look at the journeys of all the prophets, all the servants of God. Look at all the journeys that they went through. Now, if you believe in the Word of God. But you know that God is going to take you through a journey like this. He's not going to leave you, but he's going to want you to go through that journey so you can experience things that no man can teach you. Only the Spirit can teach you. But you have to be in that place. You have to be in that place to be willing to receive it.
You know, Kim, what I would love for our listeners to do is for all of them that choose to go on a journey. Well, let me rephrase that, because our whole life is a journey. As long as we're living, our life is a journey.
Yeah.
But those that would make the time to spend some time with God, I would love to hear from them and their experiences. And I'm sure, I'm confident that there will be some that will, because of the encouragement today, to make that effort to spend some time with God. If it's just no more than a day, a few hours, and then email us and share with us their experiences. I would love to hear them.
I would too.
I would love to hear them.
I mean, if you are in a position where you can't leave your family, then if you ever saw the movie the prayer room,
mm-hmm.
where the lady made a spot in her home to where she could go and just be in peace.
That would work.
Find that place in your home where you can go in peace, where you can just lock the doors and just go in there, where no one can disturb you. This is one thing I've known, when I used to go into a room and pray and just be alone with God, my wife never knocked on the door. My daughter never knocked on the door. They said, well, Daddy's going to pray. We're going to leave him alone. Once you start setting that type of atmosphere, your kids will always understand what you're doing, because God will show them and teach them. So this is my time with them. But that's the way to start. But you have to be willing to do this. You have to be willing. And when you do that, watch the change in your household. Watch a peace come over your household. If your household is just so much chaos, you start seeing that the Spirit take over and capture your home, and the peace will come. You know when peace comes, when people come to your home, they don't want to leave. That's when you know you have peace in your home.
Yes.
But we just ask you to start your journey, your own journey. You may not be able to do a weekend away. You may not be able to do the 11-day, but just start your journey. I know... I know you got me started on a journey years ago. That book with Michael Bedwitt.
Mm-hmm.
Mind, Fast, Soul, Feast.
Yes.
That was a powerful book that started me on a meditation journey. If you go through that book, if you decide to find that book, well, we made it. I may post it on our, well, I haven't got a website up yet, but it eventually comes.
It's on its way.
But just different books that we may recommend for people to read. But this is a good book to start a spiritual journey. Because what you're doing is you're getting rid of all negativeness. You're getting rid of all things that cause distraction. And you're just focusing on to meditating. Because I know most people say, well, you know, we're going to do a fast where we don't eat. But have you ever done a spiritual fast? A spiritual fast is something that is really needed for this walk.
40-day mind, fast, soul, feast.
Okay.
40-day mind, M-I-N-D, fast, F-A-S-T, soul, S-O-U-L, feast. That's the book by Michael Beckwith.
And that is a good book.
Life-changing.
It is. I'm one that I don't read a lot, but this one is a small book, and it'll just take you through. It'll make you think. And have you done the Draw the Circle book? That's a good one, too.
So many
books that we can recommend for you to try to get you on that spiritual journey. Because these books are pretty much all spiritual based.
Most of them, what they do is they encourage you to be you.
Yes.
They're not trying to tell you this is how you should be.